Hello, listeners. My name is Victor Rodriguez, and you're listening to Pulse, where we take a peek at Pierce's unexpectedly layered social environment. Veganism. In 1944, this term was coined by Donald Watson, the founder of the Vegan Society in England, and he defined it as non-dairy vegetarian. But from 1951 and on, the society defined it as the doctrine that man should live without exploiting animals. As a vegan myself, I've been distant from any sort of vegan organizations on campus, and it's been very interesting to see them working from afar. As a journalist, I have to be impartial, so no matter how much I wanted to be involved, I couldn't exactly join any of their events as I was reporting on it, and that is my excuse for my guest today. I hope she'll accept it. Today, I'm here with Galit Ashkenazi, the treasurer for the Pierce College Vegan Society, and we're going to talk about the first ever Vegan Day happening tomorrow in the Great Hall. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
All right, you ready to jump in?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, first off, let's talk about Vegan Day.
Okay, so Vegan Day is tomorrow. That's going to be Thursday, November 16th. And basically, it's going to be a pretty much all day long event at the Great Hall where we're going to have a bunch of guest speakers, all somehow influences in the vegan community. We're going to have these speakers give presentations about things that they're passionate about. And then we're also going to have a couple little events throughout. So we're going to have like an animal bingo so that people can win raffle prizes. And then we're also going to have a bake sale. We're going to have free samples, goodie bags, and some outreach to let people know about any questions they have about veganism. So the purpose of this event is basically to introduce students who otherwise would have no reason to be introduced to veganism. We just want basically to raise consciousness about what it is to be vegan, you know, dispel the misconceptions that vegans are just, you know, some kind of extreme people that, you know, are just trying to hug cows all day. And we know we love hugging cows, but that's not all it is about. Really, it's just about being kind to others and reducing the harm that we do in this world. So that's one of the biggest motivations for Vegan Day.
And you're right. There is a really big stigma attached to vegans. And It's like, oh, they wear sandals all the time. They're like super hippy-dippy, and they want you to believe in healing crystals and stuff, and they're peddling their way. But no, you can totally be a 21st century modern day vegan. I had this conversation with my father the other day, and he was talking about, he was, Victor, I don't know why you choose to be vegan. I'm like, well, because we can. Now we have a choice. Now we have more, and every day we're getting more and more commercialized options. And it's a lot more available than it used to be, because I was a vegan just for I think a year and a half now, but before that I was a vegetarian because I couldn't find a lot of options, and I think recent-ish like a year ago I went to Lake Tahoe for spring break. And where I was staying, it was this kind of, you know, a small town-ish. And when I looked up on Purple Cow, the app, or Happy Cow?
Happy Cow.
Mm-hmm. The cow is purple. And it's an app that lets you know where the closest vegan food is around you. And there was a bunch of options. And I was like, I was shook. There was,
yeah.
It's growing.
It is.
And we, for a long time now, have stopped as a species. We've stopped having to eat animals. I'd wager for the last 50 years at least, we have had the option to live a meatless life.
Right.
And I think on campus, you guys are one of the most active clubs I see. I mean, besides, you know, the dance club, like breakdancing.
Everywhere.
we see you guys, and you guys are always having you have a table set up and you're always giving people food.
We Because food is the way to people's heart.
It really is. The first time I had a good vegan pastry.
Where was it?
It was Follow Your Heart.
Oh.
It was, yeah. It was amazing. It looked like those little black cupcakes with the white icing in the circles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you call them.
Like penguin something.
Yeah, they have penguins on them, but.
Oh, they had penguins on them? No, yeah. It's just in Spanish. They're called Hostess. Pingüino.
Yeah.
Something.
But anyway, and it was so rich and amazing. And I'm like, oh. It was very increasingly frequently, I am finding moments where I'm like, hey, I'm really glad I'm vegan. Like, life's being good right now.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about this event. What's been challenging about putting this on?
What's been challenging? Well, it's been a little bit challenging to find good people to present for us, because we really want people that will drive students in. We know that students' motivation to attend events is food a lot, and that's okay. You know, that's my motivation to attend events that I'm not necessarily interested in. But once people are drawn in, we want them to stay there. So we were brainstorming a bunch of people that we wanted to come in. We had one really influential guy. His name is David Carter. He was a member at the NFL. They call him the 300-pound vegan. And we had him, and he was going to come here tomorrow and talk, and we were so excited because he's, you know, pretty influential. He's, like, more mainstream influential than some other people that are vegan. Unfortunately, he had to cancel because he had something to do in New York. So that was a problem that we overcame. We have some pretty cool people talking. Another struggle.
Wasn't there a thing about outside companies?
Oh, yeah. We did want to have outside companies come in, maybe not just companies, but restaurants that have really good vegan options, just to have students become aware of what's surrounding us. Even, like, in the immediate area of Pierce College, there's a bunch of vegan restaurants that are amazing, but people just don't know about them, because why would they know? You know, they have no reason to be, you know, looking up on Yelp vegan restaurants. So we wanted to bring people from maybe, like, Follow Your Heart to come in and give samples of, like, different cuisines to introduce students to the other possibilities that there are that aren't your average meat-based restaurant. Unfortunately, because of school laws, we weren't allowed, because something about advertisements. So we had to come up with other things that were going to be appealing in a way that we could still present new companies that provide vegan options. So what we're going to be doing now instead is providing free samples. We're also going to have a bunch of goodies in the gift bags that we're going to be giving out. So we found a solution to that problem.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about the school. I don't know if you're aware, but this semester is the first semester that we have the new food vendors. Mm-hmm. That they came in and they replaced the previous occupant, and they replaced the food trucks that we had here. I think a lot of people were disheartened, but they still got to eat, so a lot of students are still in the cafeteria. How would you compare, if you could, last semester's vegan options to this semester?
I honestly don't have any strong opinion about this cafeteria, because the last vendors, you know, they had a vegan burger and that's about it. And, you know, the prepackaged foods. But this semester, they always have one vegan option, which usually is just tofu and some kind of, like, Asian sauce or something like that, accompanied by rice and vegetables, which is a pretty wholesome meal. Obviously, they could be doing more, but I can't complain. Something that I do think that they could improve is their labeling. I see a couple things being labeled as vegan, and I would argue that they're not vegan. Like, for example, the French fries and onion rings are labeled as vegan, but they're fried in the same fryer as the chicken.
Cross-contamination going on.
And some people have problems with cross-contamination. Some people are more lenient. I think that they're trying, so, you know, thank you for, you know, providing some vegan options, but there's definitely way more that they could do. I think especially because, regardless of veganism or not, students need more healthy options. Like, we're busy. We have a lot of, like, we have to be working a lot. We know, you know, we're like studying for long hours. We don't get a lot of sleep. The least that we can do is nourish our bodies. And most of the food at the cafeteria isn't nourishing. You know, it's maybe cheap and quick and tasty, but there's ways to get cheap and tasty and quick and also healthy.
And sometimes it's not even cheap.
Yeah.
I think I'm just salty because last semester, Ophir, the man in charge of Falafelicious, he reached out and he was like, hey, I'm making this vegan lentil soup. See if you guys like it. And if you guys like it, I'll keep making it. And I went, it was amazing. It was like, it was a little spicy. It was perfect.
It was good.
It was really good. And now we're not going to get the same amount of consumer interaction with Pacific Foods. That's the company that's...
Yeah, I can see that. He was more like he reached out to us, but then I did hear that the new manager is pretty like reachable. Like if you email him or if you want to talk to him, he'll be happy to, and he'll respond to your emails and he'll set up a meeting with you. I haven't personally done that, but you know, maybe that's something you could bring up.
Maybe. Aside from that, I don't think there's any. I haven't found any meals that have been set out to be vegan. I think at the food truck, it's they have like a veggie wrap.
Well, the food truck is pretty terrible for vegan options. The cafe, though.
The cafe has a lot of what are they're called, like Bites for Love or something.
Bites of Love.
Bites of Love. Yeah. They're really good vegan pastries. And I think they have those pre-wrapped sandwiches there.
They have the burritos that are like Mexican-style burritos that are pretty good. And they also have these new, like, I don't know what they're called, but it's like E-V-O-O. And those come straight from Follow Your Heart, I think. At least the burritos, I saw those there. So those are pretty good, and they're pretty nutritious. They are a little bit more expensive. So, you know, they could always do better. But, you know, school food is always expensive anyway. So if you're going to pay a lot of money, you might as well be paying for something that's good for you.
Yeah, well, can we talk about that misconception that non-vegans love to perpetuate in this? Oh, I would, but it's so expensive. And that's, that's simply not the case.
Yeah. You can make veganism or non-veganism as expensive as you want it to be. Of course, if you're going to try to eat vegan the way you ate non-vegan, it might get expensive just because the reality of veganism is you don't have like a giant subsidized dairy industry that gives you cheap cheese and like cheap meat and things like that. So if you're going to try to eat vegan meat or vegan cheese, which is just an alternative that's made out of nuts and wheat and soy and things like that, it is going to be more expensive just because it's trendy and it's a novelty. So eating vegan and cheap is super easy. You just stick to whole foods. You stick to like grains and nuts and seeds and legumes and things in bulk. And when you think about it, those are really the most nutritious things you can do for your body. This is what third world countries sustain themselves on, which means that it is cheap. And you might be thinking, well, you know, third world countries eat that because that's the only thing they can get. You can do a lot with those kinds of things. You know, you can just eat a bowl of rice and beans and that might be good, but then you can also get creative, get online and see that there's infinite amounts of infinite possibilities of what you can make with simple whole foods. And you can go to, you know, like La Vallarta, super cheap for produce and bulk items. I go to Trader Joe's and I do my weekly groceries on like $50, which is less than what a lot of people spend that aren't vegan. So you really can make the call on how much money you spend. It just depends on how much effort you want to put in your nutrition.
And I guess most people don't want to accept the fact that you really don't need as much as you think you do. So it's a little more surprising when you know, the facts are right in front of you, and you, like, you can totally live a healthy and sustainable life based off what other people might find simple.
Yeah.
And you're right, most of the vegan diets are out of necessity, but the vegan diet came from early Greek and Indian cultures. And they are still like falafels. Falafels are super amazing. And I want to shout out Tel Aviv real quick. They're really good. They're really good place on Ventura, and they have amazing falafels. But it just, it, and it's slowly, excuse me, it's slowly kind of creeping its way into the mainstream veganism, I think. It's more like, I think items, food items are like gaining popularity, and then a little bit after the fact, we're like, okay, you like it? Guess what? Vegan, it's cruelty-free.
Yeah, it's so funny how you'll give someone a food, like a, for example, one time we had donuts out, and they looked like normal donuts, you know, really good donuts. It's this place is called Donut Friend in Highland Park.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
Oh, and, you know, people try them, and they're like, this is pretty good for a vegan donut. I'm like, what do you mean for a vegan donut? Like, if I gave you this donut, and I just said, it's a donut, it's like, oh, it's a really good donut. If I say it's a vegan donut, it's like, eh, it's pretty good for a vegan donut, and it's really funny.
It's, I think it's just people don't like the fact that they're running out of excuses.
That's true.
Because even, there are so many alternatives that are just as good, if not better, than their non-vegan counterparts. Like soy riso is a big one that I think a lot of people prefer to actual chorizo, which is made from pork.
Right.
It's just, don't you get a little bit tired? And you're just like, come on, guys. It's so easy.
Yeah.
And you know it's the right thing to do. But isn't a big part of veganism, or not veganism, isn't a big part of meat eating cultural?
Yeah, and so that's why when you ask, you know, don't you get tired of all of these people making, like, these excuses that to me sound a little bit like, you know, you're just trying to evade it. It's really hard to put blame on people who don't want to give veganism, like, a chance, because I get it. You know, I wasn't born vegan. And you probably weren't born vegan. A lot of us ate meat for a really long time, and, you know, I get it. It's part of your culture. It's part of how you grew up. Literally, since you were born, you were raised to think, you know, eating animals is okay. It's not a big deal. You know, that's what they were put on here and on the planet to do. And so it's really hard to go against everything you've ever believed in, especially when you live with your parents, maybe. And your parents are like, well, if you want to go vegetarian, you cook for yourself. And then you're like, oh, well, I can't do that. I have to eat what my mom makes. So you have to come from understanding, and that way when people see that you understand where they're coming from, they don't feel so threatened, because I think a lot of times they think that when we are, you know, the common idea that vegans are pushing their beliefs on you, it's like, well, we're not, we just have a certain opinion, and we also understand where you're coming from, but, you know, times are changing, traditions don't have to last, you know. Think about all the traditions that were held years and years ago that now are considered, that are, like, probably illegal, you know?
Yeah.
So there's definitely room for changing. It's just a matter of changing your perspective and being okay with going against the crowd, because a lot of the times, if you're in this crowd mentality, you're going to think that things are okay, but if you just, like, turn around and look at what's really happening, you realize that there's more than meets the eye, I guess?
More than M-E-A-T eats the
end. Oh,
no. Okay. I want to talk about this real quick. I don't know if you were a student here when it happened, but an organization, I didn't get the name, but they had this weird little setup, and it was like six TVs all in a row, and they had like headphones on, and they're like, hey, do you want to watch this documentary for $1? It's like 5 minutes. Did you guys have something to do with that? Or
I personally didn't have anything to do. I probably wasn't in school then, but I did hear about it. I've seen that happen, like, at other veg fests and things like that, where they pay you for $1. What do you think about it?
It was, really, it was really, it really made sense that they didn't tell you it was a vegan documentary.
Absolutely.
Because, sure, people love money, but they wouldn't have been, like, watching it the entire time with their kind of nose in the air, like, oh, I don't want to watch this vegan documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, a lot of the people I know, they try veganism. They see it as a trend, and they're like, oh, I saw this documentary. I saw Food Inc. I saw the most recent one is this Netflix one. It's called Okja.
Yeah.
This one person I know, they were like, oh, I saw it, and I'm vegan now. And then 2 weeks later, I just kept getting sick. I couldn't do it. And it's like, That's a big old misconception.
Yeah, it's like I almost died. Then went vegan probably, one day.
Yeah, I mean, vegan for a day, I almost died. That's so not true, man. You're probably just trying to avoid everything because you didn't take the time. It's a slow transition if you're serious about it, you know?
Yeah, I think that because it is something like because you haven't been vegan ever and because it's such a new thing, it makes sense for it to be a little bit difficult. Like, you're literally changing your whole lifestyle, and that is going to be hard. And it wasn't that hard for me, but I know it's harder for some people. And that's why it takes time and it takes research. Like, you can go vegan overnight and then in the morning just, like, start eating a bunch of, like, carbs and pasta and bread and soy milk. And then 2 months later you realize that you're really unhealthy and you can't wake up in the morning. But that's because you're just eating unhealthy. You didn't do your research. And so in the beginning it's going to be hard. You're going to have to do a little bit of research, put a little bit of effort, and then once you get the hang of it, everything runs smoothly. You know, that's what happened to me. You do your research, and then eventually it just comes naturally, and you don't think twice. It's just like, this is my new normal.
Let's talk about that a little bit. When did your veganism start?
My veganism started when I was 15. So I guess, okay, it started when I was about 12. I went vegetarian, and I guess it was just a matter of, like, me not wanting to cause harm. I have a really, like, utilitarian way of looking at the world. Utilitarianism means that you want to achieve the most good in the world and the least harm as possible. So
if your imaginary, or I don't know, mm-hmm. your life, but if your imaginary significant other was tied to train tracks versus, you know, 100 random people, utilitarian is, sorry, buddy, I'm trying to cause the least harm.
Yeah, exactly. Which, hopefully that's never a situation I have to put myself in.
I don't know what cartoon villain would kidnap anybody, but that's right. I read a statistic, I think it was from PETA, and I don't like PETA as an organization, their tactics, but they have some really good research. And one of their favorite quotes is, vegans save about 100 lives a year. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, if you could just, and daily, you're thinking about, oh, you know, this coffee, I didn't use milk. A cow wasn't, you know, sold into slavery for the milk. Mm-hmm. And just think, I think it makes it a little easier for me.
Yeah. I think that every little step counts. And sometimes people say, oh, you know, I couldn't go vegan. It's so hard. How do you do it? You know, it's so much. And it's like, you know, it is kind of a lot in the beginning. It's a whole change. But, you know, baby steps, and eventually you'll make a difference. You know, every meal you eat, everything you buy at the grocery store makes a difference. You vote with your dollar, and that's something I emphasize a lot. Like, if there's something you don't agree with it, then you vote with your dollar and make them know. You know, it's simple supply and demand. If you aren't okay with slaughterhouses, then, you know, you can't just sit there and say, oh, I wish it didn't happen. You have to do something, and what you have to do is vote and say, you know, I'm not going to put money towards this, because you may not be the one who's in the slaughterhouse killing the animals, but it's the same thing if you're supporting the people who do.
Yeah. Okay, so as the show is winding down, I want to thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And I want to ask you, let's say, have you watched Parks and Rec?
I have, okay. Of course.
Let's say, what is something the most Ron Swanson, the most barbecue, meat pit, I eat bacon and eggs, what's the most, something, a simple thing that the most meat-eating person could do to do a little bit of good in terms of veganism?
Mm-hmm. I think it can be to replace, what do you mean, like, okay, I think it would be, like, replace one meal a day one meal a day to a vegan or vegetarian meal.
Yeah, because I think there are some people who proselytize and want to convert. But there are a lot of people who know that that's not gonna work for a lot of people. So, yeah, if you can replace, I think even replacing milk alternatives. Mm-hmm. There's, like, 5-6 replacements for milk now. Okay, we are really running out of time. Thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Tomorrow, Vegan Day, the Great Hall.
Vegan Day, 9 to 3.
Okay. Vegan stuff for vegan people.
Free food.
Free food. Thank you for listening. This has been Victor Rodriguez for KPCRadio.com.